Good morning. This is a good day. It's always a good day. On the first day of the week when brothers and sisters gather together, I'm happy to see every one of you here today, and I'm happy to be here with you. We're going to continue in a series of lessons today on knowing God. We've been working on that theme for a while now, and we'll keep working on it from time to time throughout this year, Lord willing. And today we want to look at our unchanging God, our unchanging God. When's the last time you went to a family reunion? Even a high school reunion can be interesting, and family reunions can be really interesting. You might see someone there that you haven't seen for many years, perhaps decades. And sometimes they're the same. You know, there's Aunt Sally, and she's the same old Aunt Sally we remember from childhood. She doesn't change at all. And other times, well, what happened to him? Well, he's just not the same person that he used to be. So people change sometimes, and sometimes it's for the better, sometimes not. But the good news is that God, our Heavenly Father, does not change. God just doesn't change at all. That's one of the characteristics that he has, one of the attributes sometimes we call those. And the word, if you want a six-syllable word for that, is immutability. God is immutable. Now, when you think of the word immutable, we might go back to the root word, which is mutate or a mutation. What do we mean when we say a mutation? Well, if something mutates, that means it changes. And the thing is, the God that we serve does not change. He is the same all of the time. Think of mutation. You know, sometimes, just to be weird, there are some seed catalogs that will sell you seeds that have been irradiated. They've been exposed to radiation. And when you plant those, you get some bizarre things. I don't know what that thing is on the right-hand side of the screen there. I don't know if that's a cucumber or what it is exactly, but whatever it is, I don't think I want to eat it because it has undergone some changes that might not be terribly healthy. And the little flower there, you see one flower that's normal and the other one is kind of weirded out. And you think, well, what happened to that? Well, that seed from which that flower came has been exposed to radiation. And so it mutated, and it's abnormal. It's still the same kind of flower, sort of, but it's undergone some changes. Now, I'll take volunteers for everybody that wants to eat that tomato. No thank you. I don't think I want some of that. Because again, that seed had been exposed to radiation, probably on purpose, just to grow something that was bizarre and strange and weird, and sure enough, it is. And so that's the kind of things that we're talking about when we talk about mutations, changes. The God that we serve, fortunately, does not change. As we read from the scriptures this morning, from the 102nd Psalm, verses 25 through 27, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you are the same. Notice that. You are the same, and your years will have no end. And so that passage affirms both the eternity of God and the fact that God doesn't change. Oftentimes, change is associated with time, and so the idea your years will never end and you are the same, they kind of fit together because God remains unchanged no matter how much time passes, because as we've talked about, God is eternal. We have an eternal God as well as an unchanging God. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse number 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so there we see once again the unchanging attribute of God, because remember, as we talked about in Bible class this morning, Jesus is deity. He is God. Jesus is God, the same as the Father is God and the Holy Spirit is God. And we've talked about this previously in a previous lesson to some degree and in some detail. So that indicates the deity of Jesus as well as the unchanging nature of God. Now, does unchanging mean that he always does the same things every day? No, not necessarily. And we will talk about that more here momentarily. God can and does change aspects of how he works among people. That doesn't mean that God changes. It simply means that the way that he chooses to work from one time to another may change. We began looking this morning in Bible class at the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we talked about the fact that God worked miracles through the hands of the apostles and through various others in both testaments, old and new, that God did these things for specific reasons at specific times. Now, does that mean that God has to work miracles through me today? Well, no, it doesn't. In fact, the Word of God teaches that that time has passed and that God doesn't work in those ways among us anymore. And so we think, for example, of the creation. In the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And we look through this, the 7 days, the 6 days of creation, and then resting on the seventh day. And so God did that in the book of Genesis. Now, does that mean that because that took a process of 1 week, that every week God has to create a new universe? Well, obviously, I don't think anybody would affirm that. I don't know of anyone who would say such a thing. But if we're going to say, well, God has to do the same thing all the time or he's changed, no, that simply is not the case. God does different things at different times for different reasons, and there's no reason to think that God has changed just because he does something differently today than he did in time past. Or how about direct revelation? In time past, God spoke to the to people in the Old Testament days. For example, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, spoke to various people in various ways and means. But it says, at the end of these days, he has spoken to us in his Son. So, God in time past revealed his will directly to various people in a number of different ways. Sometimes through direct voice contact, sometimes through a vision, sometimes through angelic visitations, various ways that he did that. What about today? Well, as we've talked about, the supernatural gifts, those age of the miraculous direct revelation have ceased. And so in spite of the fact that many sincere people today believe that, God told me this, that, or the other, or the Holy Spirit moved me to do X, Y, or Z, we need to take a look at what God's Word says and realize that just because God did these things in time past doesn't mean that he will necessarily continue to do those very things today. And that doesn't mean God's nature has changed. God's nature never changes. He is unchanging. But the means that he uses to deal with people in various times and for various reasons can and does change. So God doesn't speak to us today in dreams and visions and angelic visitations and things of that nature. He speaks to us today through his word. As Hebrews 1:1 said, he speaks to us today in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And so God speaks through his Son. His Son sent the Holy Spirit to inspire the apostles to write down the scriptures, and we have those in their completed form. God can and does change the specific laws and covenants that he has for his people. We are familiar with the idea of old and new covenant. And so God's old covenant was given to his chosen nation, Israel. That was his law, his covenant with them, his agreement with them, if you will. And that has been obviously changed. Now we are under the new covenant. And so we concern ourselves with the keeping of God's commands that he has given under the new covenant. And for example, the most obvious example perhaps for us today is the Sabbath command that God gave to Israel has not been repeated in the new covenant. Rather, our Sabbath will be when our work on this earth is done and we rest eternally with the Lord in the after a while. And so that will be our Sabbath, but we do not have to be concerned. There are sincere religious people that say we ought to be together on Saturday because that's the Sabbath day and it was under the law, but that simply is not binding today. And so we realize that God is still God. He was God back under the Old Testament. He is still God today. He has not changed, but his will has changed for you and for me. We no longer need to be offering animal sacrifices and burning incense and doing all of the things that were required under the old covenant. But God's nature has most assuredly remained the same. The covenant of Jesus Christ was given, and it took effect as he died upon the cross. When does a will go into effect? When the person who made it dies. When did the will of Christ go into effect? When he died. The book of Hebrews points that out rather dramatically, in fact, that God's will, Jesus' will, his last will and covenant, if you will, took effect upon his death. And so, therefore, we understand that we are not under the old covenant. It has been superseded, replaced, if you will, by the new covenant. God certainly can and does change his mind regarding people and events. Think, for example, about the fact that people sometimes do change. And so we think of, for example, in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 20 through 23, the soul that sins shall die. But he goes on to say, if the wicked man changes from his wickedness and becomes obedient, then God will change his mind. And he would be inconsistent if he didn't do that. By the same token, one who is righteous and then becomes wicked, God is pleased with him when he's righteous. He changes and is not pleased when that man becomes wicked. And so once again, if he didn't change, then he would be inconsistent if he didn't change his mind. But his nature does not change. I would like for you to also look with me at Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 7 through 10. Jeremiah chapter 18, rather. I'm sorry, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 10. He says, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. At the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build and plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning that which I said would benefit it. So you see what I'm talking about here, that God can and does change his mind and indeed must change his mind as the behavior of people changes. Where God is either going to be pleased with them if they're doing what is right or displeased with them when they do that which is wrong. And because we change, you know, one day I might be walking in the light and the next day I turn and start walking in darkness, of course God is going to change his attitude concerning me. That is perfectly logical, and we would certainly expect that to be the case. God's immutability, the fact that God does not change, emphasizes his perfection, that God is complete. Every attribute of God he has in perfection. We've talked about this before. His holiness, his righteousness, his justice, all of these attributes God has in perfection. He is not going to become more loving today, for example, than he already is. God's attributes are all possessed in perfection. And that is true for every attribute of God that you can think of. God's infinite knowledge, he is not going to be more knowledgeable tomorrow than he is today. His infinite love, he's not going to be more loving today than he was yesterday, or tomorrow than he is today. God is infinite in all of these attributes, and they do not change. If God were more loving today than he was yesterday, that would mean that he has changed. And God is, as we're affirming today, immutable in all of his attributes. And so, unlike we human beings, God cannot improve. Now that might sound a little strange to you. Well, think about it. He is already infinite in all of his goodness and all of his love and all of his mercy and all of his everything, every attribute that he has. And so, of course, God is not going to improve. Now, I need to improve. Do you? Do this. Yes, you do need to improve. And hopefully we will improve as we live longer and we understand better and we put forth better effort. We can change, and we should change, but God's nature doesn't change. Every attribute that God has, he has in total completeness. He will not change at all. And so, how does that affect us? Why are we even talking about this? Is this just an intellectual exercise so we can check the box on a true-false test? Okay, God is immutable. T, yes. No, that's not the only reason. God's unchanging nature, the fact that he is immutable, should encourage us because it should help us to realize that we can rely on him. If he says something, he'll do it. He is unchanging in his nature. If he has an attribute today, he will always have that attribute. And so we can rely on an unchanging God in a world that seems to be rapidly changing. And again, our world can change, people can change, sometimes for the better. Unfortunately, more often it's for the worse. And we look at that and say, wow, is there anything we can rely on? The answer is yes. You can rely on the Lord because he does not change. He is immutable. His faithfulness springs from his unchanging nature. The fact that God keeps his promises, God always has kept his promises. He always will keep his promises because he is a God of truth. He is a God of justice. He is a God of righteousness. And all of these attributes are unchanging. We don't have to be concerned, well, God might change tomorrow and he won't be loving anymore, or he won't be honest anymore, or he won't be this, that, or the other. God doesn't change. And so he will keep his promises. We know he has the power to do so. We've talked about God's omnipotence, the all-powerful, almighty nature of God. And we know that he is all-knowing, and so he knows how to keep his promises. And all of these other attributes, God has in an infinite way and will always have these things because he doesn't change. So our confidence then in our unchanging God should motivate us to be faithful. God is faithful. He's not going to change. We as children of God need to pattern ourselves after him. All things being equal, children are supposed to imitate their father, right? And so God is our father. We need to be faithful and be consistent in our faithfulness, even as God is consistent in his faithfulness. God knows, because he is infinitely wise, what is best for us. And so we then ought to accept his will when he tells us within his word what is best for us. We ought to be faithful in observing that. His love is unchanging. He always wants what is in our best interest. We ought to imitate that and always be faithful in loving one another and seeking what is in the best interest of one another. And so it's really important that we realize that God's nature doesn't change, and that should be an encouragement to us to put our confident trust in him, to realize that he is always going to be there for us, and we want to be as much like him as we can possibly be. So God is unchanging in his nature and attributes, always has been, always will be. Perfect, complete, unchanging in every attribute that he has. We safely put our confident trust in him. If you've never put your trust in Jesus as the Son of God and confessed with your own mouth, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," we've been blessed in the last couple of weeks with two precious souls who have done that very thing, have confessed Christ and been immersed into him for the remission of sins. If that is not the case with you, this is your time. This is when you can come, not the only time, of course, but it is the best time. Now is always the time. The best time for you to come and make that good confession and put on Christ in baptism and come forth from the water a brand new creature, cleansed from every sin you've ever committed, and begin a brand new life of faithfulness in Christ Jesus. If this or any other spiritual need is yours, we would encourage you to come as we're standing and singing. Let's stand together, please.